All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you have your Bibles quickly, let's read two portions of the scriptures. We'll use that to pray today. First of all, let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 55, which we have been using to study on Saturdays, our series titled The Sayings of God. Just want to read it out. And if anybody is listening to this, make sure he listens to the whole series titled The Sayings of God. From verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We have been reading this on Saturdays in our series, The Sayings of God. And it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," verse 8, "neither are your ways my ways." He said, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, I want to just stop there. Okay, let me just read verse 10. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Now, I said to us on Saturdays that we have been studying the matter, the sayings of God, that the unrighteous man is known by his thoughts, by his thinking pattern. Righteousness means that you are thinking, all right? Or let me put it like this. If your frame of reference, your mindset is in accordance with the order of God, the word of God, then the Bible describes you as righteous. Righteousness is actually the rule, or let me put it like this, the stamp of approval that God puts on your manner of life. That's what righteousness is. And like we saw here, it is dictated by the way you think. So if a man thinks in accordance with how God wants him to think, he's a righteous man. And that plays out in the way the person walks. Are you getting my point? Now, I've been saying this to us again and again. Sin is not just a moral issue. No, that's not all sin is about. Sin is if God says something is bad and you say in your heart that it is good, that is sin. Do you follow what I'm saying? Whether you did it or not is not the issue. If God says it is bad and you say in your heart it is good, it is just that as a Christian, I can't do it. You're already a sinner. Forget that it's just that a Christian, I can't do it. Do you follow my point? That means if nobody's looking, do you follow my point? I mean, then for you it is okay. And you will give approval to those who do those things. That's what sin is. Sin is not just the acts you perform. It's your mindset. It's the way you reason. Please, that thing is very important. That's why he says, "Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts." It's when the man has abandoned his thoughts that he can become a righteous man. Please bear that in mind. We have been studying that on Saturdays. So with that in mind, all right, let me just remind us of something we're saying again and again. God's word is an assignment. Everything that God utters is supposed to go out to accomplish. Don't ever forget that. God does not give advice. He does not joke. You follow my point? Anything he says has power in it to accomplish. God doesn't crack jokes. He never says, "I didn't mean that." He never says it. Because whether he means it or not, the thing will first be accomplished. So those are the things we should bear in mind. Therefore, of course, I said also, let me quickly add this on to it, that if anybody is not experiencing the word of God manifested in his life, it is because he's not agreeing with God in his heart. We saw that story from the book of 2 Kings when Elisha the prophet uttered a word, and a very important officer of the king who was in the know, who knew what was happening, explained that it was not possible that thing should happen the way the prophet has said it. That's in 2 Kings chapter 7. And because of that, though it happened, it did not happen in his life. Are you getting my point? He saw it, but he did not partake, all right, of it. That's how it is when people disagree with God in their hearts. Now, on Saturday, that's this last Saturday, we saw, as I began to talk about how God sees us. You get the point? And I remember I spoke about that, well, I was going to say extensively, but we did not finish. But I think we want to use that as our prayer point for today. How God sees us. That is, God looks at you and it's what he sees in you. Are you getting my point? It's different from what people see in you. It's different from what you see in yourself. All right? God looks at you and there's something that he's seen. There was a time he saw Jeremiah and he said, "You, I see a great prophet. I see a prophet to the nations." I see a man who can deliver my message to anybody. I see a man who is not afraid of anybody. I see a man whose words will not fall to the ground. And Jeremiah turned around like, is there somebody standing behind me? Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, are you talking about me? He said, Lord, you are making a mistake. Let me tell you what I see. I see a youth. I see a young boy who does not know how to talk. I see a young boy who is afraid of his elders. I see a young boy who cannot stand against iniquity publicly. That's what I see. I see a man who cannot articulate his speech. Nobody will listen to this fellow. And that's what Jeremiah was seeing. Are you getting my point? But God said to him clearly, no, that's not what I see. I see a man who I knew before he was formed in his mother's womb. Somebody who I called as a prophet to the nations. This is what righteousness is. Now listen, humility is not thinking very, let me just put it like that. Humility is not the ability to think very humbly. You like my English? You know, I manufacture English was once in a while. All right? It's not the ability to think in a very, very humble fashion. You know, it's like you say, when they look at you, say, hey, this your tie is very fine. And say, this cheap tie, do you know where I bought it? It was second hand, you know, go to Dell. They said the tie is fine. What's wrong with you? Just accept that the tie is fine. You say, you're looking very beautiful. You're trying to flatter me. You follow what I'm going to explain here. So that's not humility. There's a world of difference between the two. What is humility? Accepting things the way God says them. That's what humility is. It is not humility for Abraham to look at God, say, a father of many nations I have made you. He said, God, you must be joking. No, I'm just a single small man who his wife has not had children even though we're 100 years old. No. And he said, I like that man. He's very humble. He's very humble. He never thinks so highly of himself. The Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself. What's the next line? Than you ought to think. There's an ought. It's when you pass that level where issues there. Like I told you, if you want title is cheap, it's free. God knows the quarrel. As long as you avoid certain titles, Almighty, don't use that kind of title. You may die very, very fast. Are you getting my point? The most wise one. If you use that title, you won't live more than the next 1 year. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? But Reverend, Pastor, Apostle, most anointed evangelist, what's the big deal? Go ahead. God won't quarrel about it. Share that title. Just don't be confused to think it's your real office. What am I saying? If you know how you ought to think, just don't go beyond that level. It is not humility to start accepting things that are far inferior to what God says about you. Are you getting my point? Abraham, if he has said, a father of a few nations, that's what I'm going to accomplish. That's iniquity. You know, assessing is not like, it's just, this man is stolen. You know, that's not just all sin is. Once God says one thing and you say another. For example, he said, the day you eat of that, you shall surely die. Satan, inciting them to sin, said, you will not surely die. Now, can you see? So for us, a small thing, they are just disagreeing on the potency of a poison. Is that not so? You really don't think it's a matter of iniquity. It's just that you think it is poisonous, I don't think it is poisonous. All right, but that was the foundation of all the problems of the earth. That's how sin began into this earth. Once people began to say to themselves, we will not surely die, when God said, you will surely die. Are you getting my point? So if Abraham said, hey, father of a few nations, that's all we can accomplish, that's sin. I don't care how humble he thinks he is. Like I say to people all the time, by the time you are saying something about yourself, be very sure. Have the testimony of God. They said to Jesus, you are lying. You are testifying of yourself. He said, no, my testimony is not of myself. I'm giving you the testimony of the Father about me. So when he said, I am the light of the world, no be brag. It was a statement of fact. He wasn't inviting NTA or CNN to come and show him, or see me, I'm the shiniest of the shining bubbles. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, it was a statement of fact. I am the light of the world. He that walks with me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light that produces life. It wasn't. Do you get my point? If you enter an office, you say, please, I'm looking for the MD here. When they enter your office, if you are the MD, it's not like, no, we thank God, we are just a humble servant in this place. You are the MD. MD is the MD. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? So this is it. If God sees you in a particular fashion, it is sin. That's what I'm getting to. To say something different. That's what I'm saying. That's where, And they talk plenty to say one thing. The idea is that you never forget what I said. If God says one thing about you, it is sin to say something else about yourself. And you can't say, Pastor, you don't understand. My own situation. It's not like that, though. I don't care how you feel about it. Once you discover what the Word of God says about you, any day you ever utter anything contrary to that, you are walking in conjunction with Osama bin Laden. Are you getting my point? It is sin to disagree with God. Because sometimes when you are preaching inside people's hearts, on the surface, they are telling you, amen, praise God. Inside, say, hey, Pastor never jam. Pastor never jam. So this guy just preached. He hasn't gotten the point. He doesn't know where I'm coming from. That is sin. You may as well go outside and start doing all the bad things. Because you have already laid the foundation for it anyway. Are you getting my point? So that's why I've told you several times. If you don't want to believe God, don't come near where His word is being preached. Go to a mosque. On Fridays, crawl to a mosque. Saturday night, go to Premier Garden. Don't come here on Saturday night. Sunday morning, sleep. That is, don't leave Premier Garden until like 3 a.m. So you can sleep on Sunday morning. Don't go to church. Because once you go to church, once you hear the word of God, there is an obligation to believe. Those who refuse to believe die where? In the wilderness. You see what I'm saying? Now, let me just quickly read this. I wasn't planning to preach for long. Please, quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's because of this, Paul was describing himself from verse 1. He said, now I, Paul, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Alright, he said, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. That's what they were saying about him. That's what it was, more like a bit of sarcasm there. He said in verse 2, I ask you, let me just go to the most important thing we've seen. Okay, let's just leave that verse 2. I ask that when I'm present, I may not be bold. That is, I may not need to be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, please, I don't have time to analyze all these things here. Where I want to release from verse 3, just I like to read in context. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not fight or war according to the flesh. That is, according to the precepts, the structures of human reasoning. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. King James used the expression, which most of us are familiar with, strongholds. He said the weapons of our warfare, what we really fight, all right, in life, how we go about that fight. There are two things there. We have our warfare. Everybody say our warfare. That is, there's something we are fighting. There is a war we are engaged in. And let me quickly add it. It's not against those witches and wizards. I was preaching in Oka on Sunday. It was a student crusade, kind of, outreach program. And I told them, if you know there are churches where you are normal now, you did normal. As you come here, so you're normal. You're just facing all the troubles of life with the word of God and prayer. Eh? As soon as you get to those churches, you go for 1 month, you become abnormal. And what do I mean by abnormal? Suddenly, you were just struggling with prayer and fasting and prophesying. Eh? Now you have not turned to fighting people. It is now all the witches, all the demons, all the enemies. Please, I'm begging you in the name of Jesus Christ, stop going there. You are not helping yourself. I'm not mentioning any name. You hear name from my mouth? But a friend of mine, who had a disagreement the other day, he was saying that these people, I said, trying what? Is that liberty? A man was normal before. You now convert him to a suspicious, paranoid, spiritually paranoid person. If Moto raised dust beside him, he sneezes out the dust in Jesus' name. They can't get me in Jesus' name. You should know you have entered the wrong assembly. You are entering into bondage. That's not the warfare that God sent you to fight. Are you getting the point I'm making? we have our warfare. We have a series of messages on it titled Christian Warfare. Yes. Go and listen to those messages. I described it there. Our weapon, our fight is not against imaginary spirits that live in trees in villages. You know my theory about that. A spirit that wants to stay in the tree, what do? Leave him there. He's a very nice guy. You should be angry with the spirits who want to drive your car with you. That's not our warfare. Please. We have our warfare. And I want to just bring something out from there. All right? So, number one, we have our warfare. And number two, there are weapons that we use in battle. When we say warfare here, what it means is war. Simple. Are you getting my point? Battle. All right? And there are weapons we use in that battle. And he said, this is what those weapons do. He said, they are powerful, all right, mighty through God for the destruction of fortresses. Now, this is what he says, verse 5. He said, we are destroying speculations. These are the fortresses. Please notice this. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is what? Complete. Let me stop there. Because I don't want to read everything Paul is saying. This is just the point I want to bring out. The warfare is about what? Thoughts. Are you seeing it? He said we are destroying speculations, projections, predictions, prophecies that are against what God says. Do you follow the point? We are destroying them. We are destroying every lofty thing, every imagination that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And please notice this. He said that we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Now, I read that last line to bring out something here. That the first place where God is working is not out there in the world. It is where? In here, in the church. That's where I'm going to. If you listen to that message, take hold of the kingdom, all right, in our Training to Reign series. I talked about taking hold of the kingdom of God. That the first place where you take hold of God's kingdom is where? It's inside you. It's in you. I'm going somewhere here. At the first place you use the weapons of God's, the divinely powerful weapon for our warfare is in fighting the imaginations that are inside your heart. Yes, that's number one. That's number one. Now, I told you I was preaching in Oka on Sunday. One of the things I told them, I said, listen, there are people who pray all night. This night is against the enemies. This night is against the witches. Today we will finish them. Somebody sent somebody sent a photograph of one poster he saw or she saw somewhere. They photographed it. Koboko night. One church in Abuja. Night they are going to whip the devil and the pastors, everybody must come with the koboko. I'm not joking. If you want, I will forward you the email. Really, somebody saw it, came down, photographed this thing. Call email us, or email and to us, email will see. Koboko night. I've seen people shooting the devil a whole night, two and boom, 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 boom. Oh, poor devil. If that devil has a second chance, he will never try this thing again. Because even the one he did not do, he has been accused of it. You've heard the joke before of one day a man was passing and he saw Satan sitting down somewhere and he was crying. So the fellow stopped and said, Mr. Devil, why are you crying? The guy said, the lie is too much. He was sitting in front of a church. So these people inside there, that the lie is too much. I know I have sinned, but this one, how bad? That everything that goes on wrong in their life, they say it's my fault. Even the ones I know nothing about, is the devil. If their doors don't open because they bought one cheap Chinese lock, it is the devil. What have I done to deserve all this harassment? I told them, I talked to them when I was preaching. I said, listen, you can't stay up all night doing such things. It's not right. Should you stay up all night for some things? Yes. Listen. There are the most important prayer point, and I can't begin to give you personal testimonies now. There are things that there are thoughts that come to my mind. It wants to bring accusations against people. It wants to bring strife, maybe in my home and all of that. And I'll say, fine, we are going to settle this matter. And you know how we settle it? That's what we're saying. It's imaginations. It's thoughts. Speculations. Raised up against the knowledge of God. So what do? We start fighting them with the knowledge of God. That's where I'm going. That's where you are supposed to stay up all night. Listen, I said one of those messages then that there's nothing wrong when you hear bad news, predictions that are wrong, and you become afraid. There's nothing wrong. When I say there's nothing wrong now, when you don't, for you to be able to be afraid, it means that there are certain things that are not yet in place in your heart. So that's the time. Those are the times you declare all night. You will go and sleep early. Then rise up around 11, 12 when everybody has slept. The best way to handle it, this is my experience. God has blessed us with technology. Amen. It's not Antichrist. Internet is not Antichrist. Amen. I don't want to go into that. I found out what the mark of the beast is. And people have been taking it every day. And the predictions in the scriptures that they can't buy or sell except they take the mark of the beast, it's, I don't have time to go into it now. It's played out every day. That's why if you start a company, listen to me, don't take it public unless you have a way to Dangote the control. You know, Dangote, so 30% of Dangote sugar, that's the best way. Collect money from everybody, but the control is still your own. But you must never lose. Do you know why? This is what they call stock market. People they've drunk of the spirit of this age. They want you to make profit. That's Antichrist spirit. Let me not digress into that. All right? So don't look, technology is a blessing from God. That's just by the way. That's quick by the way. Amen? Back to the main thing we're saying. So one of the things God has given us is tapes. Internet is good. There's one brother, he's on our mailing list. Once I send links around, you know, I sent a message last week. I don't know how many of you have received it. All right? He said, on his BlackBerry, bam, he just clicks on it and it just streams. So he puts the earphone. He has played BlackBerry for the month. So he's just listening to the thing through and through. At such times, when you wake up like that, that's a good way to start. There's one brother who told me once, anytime he has challenges, he used to record when we were on radio. He had masses of tapes. Every message that's coming up, he puts a tape recorder. I want to say, welcome to the Way of Success. Press, ma'am, begin record. He would record the whole thing, 30 minutes. So he used to file them. So he said when he has challenges, he will go through the archive, he will check, where did this Bobo talk on this matter? He brings out the tape. Before he considers what to do, he puts in the tape, close his eyes, and listen. He will listen properly. Are you getting my point? Then he knows what to do. That's how they handle such things. People, listen, one brother told me once that one day he sat with friends and they told him the issues of life. He said he sat down and he began to cry. Nothing to him. He just realized that now I have left school. I'm in trouble. Before that evening, he was happy. Then when he gathered with people and they began to talk about economic problems, speculations. Can you see that? Economic problems, things that are going to happen to people like him. He literally broke down when everybody had gone away and he began to cry. Real cry. Tear cry, you know? Wailing cry. Woo, 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 cry. He looked and said, God, see my life. I'm in trouble. Those are the times people pray. Are you getting my point? Those are the times they take a message and first listen to it. That's our prayer point for today. They listen to it and then with the word of God start casting down imaginations. It doesn't mean you understand and you fully, you know, through human reasoning are able to agree. But at least you have information that this is what God says about you. That's why you hear the word of God. It's not to say, hey, now I'm into, I don't go to church. May I repeat what they talk for there? No. It's more of when life talks. You know, I've been saying all the time, life is a battle of what? Words. It's a battle of words. When life talks to you, you talk back. That's how you cast down imaginations. They were talking about, long ago, they were talking about how God sees you. Like Jeremiah. If God talks to you and your name is Jeremiah like that, and you are afraid, then you go and sleep. Then wake up when everybody has gone to sleep. Then you stay up all night. Start repeating to yourself what God said about you. Do you get my point? That's how you are casting down imaginations. That's what we're talking about. Because they say, I read this from one funny clown long ago, but he was speaking deep spiritual truth. He said, imagination is more powerful than willpower. That's why Paul said we have to cast down what? Imaginations. What is willpower? Let me tell you what willpower is. I must make it. I must make it. I must make it. I must live long. You have all those, you know, desires. So you rise up early in the morning. People, they do business. Me too. I must do them. 6 o'clock, you're out of the house. And you're working hard, hard, hard. But like I said on Saturday, but deep inside, something is saying, you will fail. You know now, it's in your family, it's in your blood. And you're working hard, hard. But deep inside, you know that this is not going to go anywhere. The man who was saying that, not a Christian writer, just read one of his books, one of his mystical books. But when I saw that truth, I said, this is divine truth. This is how he illustrated it. He said, if I draw across a street, all right, across a street, I draw a line about 1 foot wide. That is, I draw a kind of a column, 1 foot wide. One line here, 1 foot in between. And you're supposed to walk across. No, let's say 3 feet wide, to make it easy. 3 feet wide. Across the street. So you walk across. He said, make sure you don't move to the left or the right. You will walk across that street 10 times without moving to the left or the right beyond those boundaries. He said, now just imagine that I take that same line and move it higher up. Let's say 50 floors. There's a house on the other end of the street. One here, 50 floors. Now, they tell you walk across the street. Are you getting the point? Now you are 50 floors in the air. There's no problem. It's the same width you have been crossing up and down. So they say, cross it again. Suddenly you can't go again. And they said, that shows you something. Imagination is more powerful than the will. Why? Once you're about to move, you are not seeing the road, you are seeing the fall. You are beginning to imagine, wow, on the floor, where will my head fall? How many cracks will be in my arm alone? One arm. You play out those whole the whole scenario. You say, Moses, enough it. This was the same dimensions you were using just a while ago, but down on the ground floor when you were down. He that is down needs fear no fall. Suddenly when you are up, you are fearing the fall. So he said, you see, the imagination is stronger than the willpower. And that's why the word hope in the Bible, all right, is a deep-seated expectation. People say that hope is uncertain. I say it's not true. That's not correct biblical interpretation. People say that hope is uncertain. Faith is what is sure. You must get faith to give something to your hope. I say that's not hope. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is expectation born of evidence. Do you get my point? Hope in the Bible does not make ashamed. It is hope in the Word of God. It's born of evidence. It's a conclusion you came to having reasoned. That's what hope is. So when God breaks hope in you, it's more powerful than adversities. Are you getting my point? That's why God doesn't describe the details of the problems of life for people. Go and read the scriptures. Come, I will make you a father of many nations. Come, your descendants will inherit this. Are you getting my point? But once he had that firm expectation, nothing could stop him. All the challenges couldn't stop him. Do you follow the point I'm making? So what are we doing? We are casting down what? Imaginations. What Satan wants to do to you is make sure you imagine something different from what God wants you to have. The first place you exercise the power of prayer is in those areas, your personal life, when your own obedience is complete. I've said to you all the time, the problem in Nigeria is not the problem of politicians, the problem of church. Are you getting my point? Yes, if we pastors stop lying and stop stealing, politicians will suddenly start going to jail for lying and stealing. Yeah, no, what I'm saying is a matter of fact. If we Christians, we stop deceiving ourselves with the word of God. You know that deceiving ourselves with the word of God. Once we stop it, suddenly God will start arresting people who steal national treasure. Yes, but as long as we are lying, taking the treasure of the word of God and corrupting it and, you know, twisting it to meet our own ends, the politician is free. God has no justification to arrest him. When your own obedience is complete, then you'll be ready to avenge every disobedience. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right? So, where do we start from? I said, righteousness is when I align my thoughts, all right, with the thoughts of God. First of all, about myself. It is not every firm talk. I just want to say firm now. If talk of affirmation, that's pride. You can't go to a hospital, you see one young man, say, are you a doctor? And say, no. Well, yeah, you are just trying to treat people. If you're a doctor, you're a doctor. There's no pride in it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. If you're the MD, you're the MD. If you're not the MD, that is when it is pride. You are just his personal assistant because he's not around. And that's who's the MD, say, aye, sir. Do you understand? Pride is when you are thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Do you get the point I'm making? Don't forget, it's what God has made you in Christ Jesus that you brag about. You cast down every imagination. Let's rest our feet. It's time to pray. That's what we want to do. Just to pray. All we want to do is pray. I did all that plenty talk. Let's title this our prayer for today. Casting down imaginations. It's not casting out the devil. The devil was cast down long ago. Before you were born. Amen? Yes, he was. He was. It's not the devil. Casting down witches. There are some African gospels. You know what I'm saying? There are gospels that can only be written. Last time I was preaching at IMT, there was one American man sitting down there. So every time I say something about witches, I'll talk to him and say, please, I apologize. I was so embarrassed. But thank God he was originally in Nigeria. Sorry, an African too, from Liberia. So I hope they had witches in Liberia those days. You know, then there are things you say. If I want to broadcast to cover Western Europe and North America, I will remove them. It's embarrassing. Some things are pure, like one brother said, it says African mythology, you know, myth. Myth. Everything goes wrong. African man goes to divine who did it. You don't notice? You don't understand? The divination is who is responsible. They sack a man in his work. He goes to find out who is behind the sack. A man dies, they go to find out who is behind the death. The doctor said, no, this was the disease that afflicted him and he died. No. Want to find out who? Who is the who? When I first came to Enugu, people come and say they want to do autopsies. After a while, I had to start telling people, sorry, I know they find wishes. All the wishes that kill the person. I can't see it, though. So, and we now carry it to Christianity. I'm sorry I have to continue saying this so that I can help people. We now carry it to Christianity. You know, Babalawo gave his life to Christ. You didn't just, okay. He now becomes a pastor. His mindset has not changed. Before, he was looking for who's responsible by casting pellets. Now, he's looking for who's responsible by reading the book of Psalms. He was fighting enemies that time by incantations. It is still the same incantation. Now he has taken from the book of Psalms now. The same attitude. The man lost his job. He has not asked the guy. They said, you get to office by 8. When did he used to get there? He hasn't asked that one. He hasn't asked. So we are not here to cast out witches. Amen? We are not casting down enemies. Are we? It's a waste of time, isn't it? What are we casting down? Imaginations. Thoughts, ideas in our hearts. First of all, about ourselves. That's where we start from. Because later on, you have to cast down ideas in your heart about your environment that's disagreeing with what God says about the environment. Because if you don't cast out those imaginations, if your name is Lot, and you're quarreling with your cousin, your uncle, Abraham, when they say, look around, choose anywhere, you will choose the well-watered garden. Well-watered plains, like the garden of the Lord at that point in time. You will move towards the plains of Sodom, and that will be the beginning of your troubles. Because you did not cast down imaginations with the word of God. The word of God that says clearly, I will bless you and make you a blessing. That's what he said to Abraham. I will give you all the land, everywhere around. Are you getting my point? You've not cast out the imaginations that blessings come from inside, not from outside. So people will tell you that nothing can ever work in Nigeria. That's a satanic imagination. That's what I mean. You have to cast that one down too. You have to. One day somebody, was a friend of mine, they said, government is selling land. He said, don't mind them. They just want to steal your money. My friend said, don't mind him. This is how good things happen and it will pass people by. You know that it happens. You hear that government said, okay, go and pave.